So last week, after the lesson, I was just thinking through the day that I don't want to give the wrong impression. I didn't want to give the wrong impression last week. I hope I didn't. But just in case, I don't want to give the impression that we are supposed to like approach the world with the gospel with some kind of, you know, prideful arrogance and being a bull in a china shop and, you know, just sort of letting people have it, you know, with the gospel, because after all, the wrath of God is pending on them and that kind of thing. I don't want to give that impression at all. Okay. There's a difference between what we talk about here in class. Think of this as like a workshop, and the way we actually engage with the world. Okay. So the little analogy, and Tracy says I'm like chronic with analogies, but here's a little analogy that popped in my mind last week, was it's sort of like a car. Okay. Like if you look at a car, you've got inside under the hood, you've got the engine that's red hot. There's oil flying all over the place. You've got brakes that are red hot. From pressure and so forth and friction and so forth. So there's all this stuff going on. You got a hard steel frame underneath the seat that the person's sitting on. And it's all doing its job, but the result, the experience for the person sitting in the seat is a comfortable seat and a comfortable armrest and a nice steering wheel that they can touch and all that. That's sort of what it's like here. I don't mean to get all corny with analogies, but that's sort of what it's like here. So this is sort of a workshop. So bear in mind that some of the intensity that I might use when we're talking about stuff like this is not meant to be the intensity that we're taking out into people and, you know, just going like this. So that's not the case at all. And also, I'm not saying that by comfortableness in the car that we're supposed to compromise our message at all. I'm not saying that at all either. We don't compromise at all. Paul said, I've become all things to all people that I might win some. Okay? Paul never said, I compromise the gospel for all people so that I might win some to a false gospel. He never said that. But he did mention that, you know, he did change how his approach was, what he did, how he looked, all that kind of thing. Matthew 10 says, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves.
Yeah.
And then there's also a really good proverb I read last week. It's Proverbs 12:18 that says, there is one who speaks rashly like the thrusts of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Okay? So that is how we want to approach these things. And then lastly, I'll say this. Another little thought popped in my mind, and I'm just going to read it because I would mess it up if I don't just read it. To summarize this, I would say this. The goal isn't to be naively nice or to be inconsiderately coarse. Okay? The wise path in sharing the gospel is to speak complete truth in complete love. One without the other is incomplete and actually dangerous. Gentleness and respect is the delivery method of truth and love. So many of us are doing this already, but I just wanted to throw that out there just to sort of set the level here. So last week we had the first half of the introduction lesson to this series, okay? I mentioned the story about my brother Steve, my brother Paul, and just how I was really passionately sharing the gospel with them when I was down there a few years ago in Florida. This was right before my brother Steve was going to die from cancer. The handout that you have, today we're going to get into the second half, but if you haven't marked up the handout, the first half was from last week. And just if you want to fill this in, the marks of true believers that I mentioned last week, and we're going to touch on it again today, are knowledge, obedience, and fruit. So those are the three little blanks that you have on your handout there, knowledge, obedience, and fruit. And then next to the word principle, and you can say this however you want, is when you are convicted to share the gospel with somebody, always do it. And don't not do it because you're afraid you might not do it just right. Okay, so go ahead and share the gospel with people.
That's right.
So getting into the second half of this series now, or this introduction, and this is on your handout, actually. You know, this experience, you know, with Steve and Paul and so forth, it just underscored a number of things for me, and that's what we're going to talk about today, okay? I wrote underscore on the board here, and we're just going to talk about this. So first of all, what this underscored to me is that so many around us think that their belief in God makes them safe in God's eyes. Okay, their belief in God. What I'm mainly referring to really is unsaved people. Okay, there a lot of unsaved people that say they believe in God think they're safe in God's eyes. However, there are people actually here in the church, might even be members in the church, you know, might have gone that far, who I would put in the same category.
Absolutely.
They believe in God, and they think they're saved. They think that makes them saved, but they're actually not saved, okay? And the reason is their faith in God doesn't go any further than that. It really is nothing more than a head knowledge, okay? Now, the thing that's really interesting about this is that I don't dispute that these people truly believe in God. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that they say they believe in God, they don't believe in God. They do believe in God. They truly believe in God. And furthermore, they even believe in the God of the Bible. I'm not disputing that at all. They believe in the God of the Bible. The problem is it is a head knowledge that is not salvific. There's never been regeneration. There's never been a filling of the Holy Spirit. There's never been, you know, being born again. Same thing as regeneration. It really is just more of a head knowledge, okay? And the thing, too, that I just want to point out is that this area here, we're going to talk about a lot of areas in this series of, like, false beliefs and things like that. We're going to get into some of that error next week. But this area right here of people believing in God but not being saved is probably the biggest area of all that this series is about, really. We have friends, we have coworkers, we have family members, etc., who all say they would believe in God. And they're not talking about, you know, Muhammad, or they're not talking about, you know, some Hindu God. They're talking about the God of the Bible. But again, it is a belief that has never met with regeneration. It's just strictly a knowledge thing, okay? A good example of this is James 2:19, which is on your handout there, where he says, "You believe that God is one. You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder."
Amen.
I was thinking about that this morning. You know, demons shudder because of their belief in God. You know what?
Yeah.
We have a lot of people who don't even shudder.
Right.
At least the demons are well informed enough where they shudder. We have a lot of people that don't. So the first thing that underscores is what I call belief, and I've got belief in quotes here because it's a non-biblical belief, but it's a belief. It's belief, and you can write this on your handout. Confusion. It's belief confusion. And by confusion, I don't mean that they're confused, wondering this or wondering that. They're more deceived, but it's belief confusion. The second thing that this underscores to me, or did underscore to me, is that, oh, by the way, I'm gonna get a little artistic here. So this guy right here, and this is as good as my art gets. The second thing that this underscores to me is that Christians, so many Christians, not all obviously, so many Christians are weak at even having a clear understanding of the gospel.
Amen.
For ourselves. Do we even really understand the gospel? This is a big deal too. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Do your best to present yourselves as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth." So I got a question for you. You've heard that verse a million times. What is the immediate knee-jerk vision that you, or picture that you get in your mind when you read that verse? What do you see?
That word study, if you follow that back, it's laborious, toilsome, agonizing, digging into the Word of God.
Okay. What else? You guys all have pictures that come in your mind when you read that verse. What picture traditionally over the years has popped in your mind when you read that verse or hear that verse? Tony?
It might be a little weird. I kind of see Paul with a candle, you know, drafting the letter. You know.
Okay. Sitting at a desk. Okay. What else? There's got to be one more. Somebody tell me what picture pops in your mind when you hear that verse.
I'd say a soldier.
A soldier. Okay. Like?
Because you have the truth.
Okay. So a soldier, a guy at a desk, and
Digging hard. Sweating, trembling at God's word, meditating, chewing, perusing, regurgitating, swallowing, meditating, crying out for your spirit to reveal the truth.
Okay. Here's my thought on that. Everything you guys said, I would totally agree with, obviously. That's all true. That is implicit in these words of this verse. I think it goes further than that, though. The Word of God and the reason we study to show ourselves approved, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly handling the Word of Truth, is for application. It's for application. It's not so we can sit at a desk and pound our heads with knowledge. That's the picture that comes to my mind. That's what come to my mind for years and years. You know, sitting in a desk, studying. I got my concordance out. I got this out. I got that. You know, and I'm studying the Word of God. That is certainly valid. That's definitely part of this. But the application is the real essence of it all, okay? Furthermore, when we talk about the application of the study of the Word of God, where is that application done?
In the real world, in your daily life, as you walk down the street, as you go to work, as you go to school, at the grocery store, at the gas station, at Costco, every single place. If you're walking in the light, you see the light. Blood of Christ is cleansing us from all unrighteousness, confessing, repenting, being filled with Spirit. You're alert to the initial promptings of the Holy Spirit, and He says, I want you to smile at this guy. And then you smile at him, and you say, hey, man, how's it going? And you strike up a conversation, and then you go to the gospel.
So Dave just mentioned people, and that is the application of all of this. And when we talk about the application of people, it starts with God. It's our application with the person of God. Okay? We worship Him as we study the Word of God. We learn more about Him and His majesty and His amazingness, and we worship Him. The second person involved in the application of this is us. So we look at ourselves and we say, where am I at in working out my salvation? Where am I at in my bond slavery to God? Where am I at in representing Him in this world? Where am I at? Am I on mission for God? So the second person after God is us. Then it's everybody around us. That's the application. Okay? You got your hand up. Go ahead.
I use that line out of the Blues Brothers. When they say, what's going on here? I say, I'm on a mission from God.
Well,
and then I share the gospel with them.
There you go. Okay.
He sings a song and buys them lunch. And
there you go.
Yeah.
Gives them track and buy them.
So my point is, if you're tracking with me here, before we can effectively share the gospel with somebody, we have to effectively know the gospel. Okay. We have to understand the gospel in depth. Okay. You can't share what you don't know.
Amen.
And you can't share what you don't understand, okay? And here's the thing. The depth to which you understand the gospel is the depth to which you're going to share it.
Right.
So, my point is, back to the point, the second point, we as believers need a very clear understanding of the gospel. Otherwise, we're going to be that shallow or deep as we share it. So, on your handout, the second thing, Christians need gospel clarity. Christians need gospel clarity. The third thing that all of this underscored for me is that so many of us Christians are ill-equipped at discerning and helping a dying world to see the difference between belief, in quotes, and biblical faith.
Right.
Do you understand what I'm saying? Let me say that again. So many of us Christians are ill-equipped at discerning and helping a dying world to see, and when I say dying world, I'm talking about our family members, our coworkers, our whoever that is lost and not saved, our kids. We are not equipped, as we should be, many of us, at helping those people see the difference, discern the difference between this and salvific faith.
Right.
Okay? We're going to get into that a lot down the road, but we're going to look at, in the series, we're going to look at the Bible's mention of faith. You hear that word in the Bible constantly. Belief, you know, believe on the Lord Jesus. You hear that constantly. What does that mean? And that's the difference. That's the crux of what's going on here. You and I run into a lot of people. We talk to a lot of people. Says, "Oh, I'm good. I'm good. I believe in God." My brother Steve on his deathbed. "I know if I die today, I'm going to heaven. I'm not worried about it." Sounds like a pretty good profession. But he has absolutely no idea what the gospel is. He has no idea of the holiness of God and the need for repentance. He has no idea that God calls everyone everywhere to repent and to be born again. He's devoid of all this. But he believes in God.
Right.
You know. So, go ahead.
One of the things that I share with people when I'm talking with them, and I got a little bit of time anyway. You know, sometimes you only got a few seconds. But when you're talking, when you got a little bit of time, you can get away from belief. You ask a homeless guy while he's high on crack or drunk or straight, for that matter, if he believes in God, they all say, yeah. But then you can say, is he your treasure? Do you worship him? Is he more important than your life? Job said, I esteem his food more highly. I esteem his word more highly than my necessary food. Mm-hmm. You know, it's got to be everything to you.
Yep. By the way, I forgot my little Michelangelo thing here. So here we have Christians need gospel clarity. So Christians look like this too. Okay. We're just a little unsure on what the difference is between belief, like we're talking about, and faith. Okay. This is a lot of the times where, you know, Christians say things like, I think he's a Christian. I think she's a Christian. You know, they might wear a cross.
Right.
You know. They might talk about certain things, like they go to church or, you know, whatever, or they don't go to church, but they believe in God, you know. Not to put a big emphasis on church, I'm just saying these are common things that we hear. We hear this kind of thing, and so we think, well, they might be a Christian, okay? Here is where we need discernment of belief and true biblical faith. Okay? I have to confess, as I do a series like this, and I'm preparing for this, some of this to me sounds so elementary. It's like, I'm wasting your time. It's like, nobody wants to go through this. But you know what the real reality of it is? This is the elephant in the room,
right,
that we deal with every day. Okay? It really is. This is our culture. We don't live in India where, you know, everybody's either a Hindu or some other, you know, Islamic country where everybody's a Muslim. We don't live in that country. We live in America where basically everybody believes in God. So this is a huge deal if we are going to be equipped and skilled and discern where and how to share the gospel. Okay? So belief and faith. I mentioned again that, and it's on your handout, okay, that the marks of a true believer are knowledge, obedience, and fruit. When I say knowledge, I'm talking about gospel, biblical gospel knowledge. When I talk about obedience, I'm talking about obedience according to Scripture. It's repentance and faith. And when I talk about fruit, the Scripture says throughout that if you believe, there will be fruit. I'm obviously paraphrasing, but there will be fruit, okay? John 14 and 15 are great chapters to read on this. So I'm not going to get into that today, but if you guys want to read the words of Jesus and him talking about what true faith is and how it looks,
right,
read John chapter 14 and John chapter 15 this week and you'll see that. You know, one thing I want to say, and it's going to sound a little bit negative, I don't mean for it to sound that way, but we need to stop being so intellectually and spiritually lazy, quite frankly, in assuming that everybody who just even remotely says they believe in God or what have you is a Christian, okay? We need to be more discerning than that, and that's sort of what we're getting at here. Assume, this is my recommendation, assume that everybody you meet is not saved.
Amen.
And the reason I say that is because that's the condition we start in. We start out lost. And unless God the Holy Spirit regenerates us and brings us to faith and repentance, we're still lost. I can wear a cross, I can listen to WMUZ, I can, you know, go to church, I can read Christian books, you know, blah, blah, blah. But you know what? If I haven't been born again, I am lost.
That's right.
So, go ahead.
Say, we were just down in Arkansas, and I talked to my brother, you know, and in Arkansas, there's a, see, he says, oh, this it's a tiny little town, but there's a church on every corner.
Yeah.
But then when you get to meet the people and listen to the preaching, you don't see the gospel there. Like I
right.
was talking to him, because he goes to, what was it, Church of Christ? Or church? Yeah. And he was, and I says, you know, in the whole sermon, I didn't hear anything of the gospel. And this.
Right.
Well, yeah, once in a while they preach about, you know, and I,
right.
I, but there's a lot of people that go to church.
Right.
And they haven't really even heard the gospel.
That's right.
Right, exactly. So, just to complete my Michelangelo work here, so the little Christian guy here who was confused about belief and faith and doesn't understand, but then he went to class and heard the difference. Now his questions are gone, and now he can actually talk to this guy, okay, with some biblical gospel content, okay, and he can actually sort of like check things out and make sure they're valid. Note, by the way, just a side note, Anna Racy, it was pretty funny. 2 years ago, whatever, you guys came to this class? Something like that?
Four, yeah.
Was it four? Okay, well, I'm getting old. We invited Anna and Dave over to our house for dinner one day, and we have dinner, and, you know, we have typical conversation, and then we say, oh, let's go in the living room, sit down on the couch and talk. So we go sit down on the couch. The first thing Anna says to me, so when'd you get saved? It's like, you know, she wasn't vetting me, but she got to the point, you know. When'd you get saved? I'm like, wow, that's like nobody's really just come out and asked me that before. But that's a good question to ask.
Amen.
That's a good question to ask. To just start dialogue, it's like, you know, nothing you can ask somebody is, who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to you? The answer to that question will tell you a lot.
Right.
Okay. Well, I believe in Jesus. You know, Jesus is God. Okay. Jesus is God. That's a factual statement. Yeah, so go ahead.
I think it's Ray Comfort that said the more that we talk to each other about the gospel as Christians, then we'll do a better, well, we're more ready to share with others.
Right.
As Christians, it should be our normal conversation, like what Anna brought up to you.
Exactly. Yep. And that's sort of what we're digging into in this series, too. Turn into your Bibles, please. Look at Acts, Book of Acts, chapter 8.
That's a good one.
I have never heard yet Sarah can say,
that's not
a really good one.
Well, that's good because that's where Philip and the eunuch and...
We're going to talk about that. So turn to Acts chapter 8, verses 26 to 35. If you have your handout, by the way, from last week, I had a misprint in there. I said 26 to 25, so we're not going Hebrew here. It's actually 26 to 35. So just make that correction if you have it. So I'm going to read this section. And then we're gonna look at some observations here. This is Acts 8, 26 to 35. Now the angel of the Lord said to Philip, and by the way, this is Philip the deacon, Philip the evangelist, not Philip the apostle, okay? The angel of the Lord said to Philip, rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place, and he arose and went.
Amen.
And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture he was reading was this, and it's Isaiah 53. Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter.
Amen.
And like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe this generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. And the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus.
Jesus, baby! That's who he's talking about.
So, see, we didn't have coffee for a while, so that's why I made sure Sarah was here. He told him about Jesus. Notice a few things here in this passage, okay? And I'm going to list like about five or six things. A, Philip initiated the conversation. We don't passively sit and wait for someone to ask us a reason for the hope that is in us.
Amen.
Philip initiated the conversation. B, Philip didn't start with a statement, but a question.
Right.
We'll get into that when we get into the sharing section, but it is much, much, much better to ask questions than to make statements. And if you're anything like me, you're fighting this constantly because I have this really bad habit of making statements when I should be asking questions. Okay? C, the text says the eunuch came to town to worship, yet Philip shared the gospel with him. Did you catch that? D, the eunuch was reading scripture, yet Philip shared the gospel with him. E, Philip didn't assume that since the eunuch was observing the Judeo-Christian religion, because it says he went to worship and he was reading the scripture, that he wasn't in need of the gospel. F, Philip assessed the situation with no assumptions, by asking if the eunuch understood what he was reading. This is really insightful stuff when you think about this passage from this perspective. G, after the eunuch confessed that he didn't understand, which, by the way, Philip would have never known if he just made assumptions.
Right.
This guy's reading the Bible, he came to worship, he's a Christian. He would have never known if he had just made assumptions. Philip shared the gospel with him from the scriptures. Back to 2 Timothy 2:15, we need to know the scriptures, okay? H, Philip had already equipped himself in the scriptures for situations like this that the Lord would expose him to. He says, beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. The whole Bible is a consistent text from Genesis to Revelation. There is... And it's all about Christ, by the way. If you look at Luke chapter 24, verse 27, and 24, verse 44, you'll see that. Jesus said twice, all of these scriptures, Moses and the prophets and the Psalms, they're all about me. Okay? So we need to be versed in scripture, 2 Timothy 2:15, so that we can talk with people no matter where they're at. Because what's going to happen is somebody say, well, yeah, but the Bible says this. Or the Bible says that. Or my uncle says, we need to be able to meet them where they're at and direct them through Scripture to the gospel. Okay, Philip could do this. And then lastly, even though this was Philip with the gift of evangelism, which he had, that doesn't mean that we who believe that we don't have the gift of evangelism don't need to always be on mission and prepared to share the gospel. And not just prepared, but proactive.
Right.
Okay, in sharing the gospel. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12 says, and he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service and the building up of the body of Christ. Did you notice that that verse says he gave some as evangelists, not to go do all the evangelizing, but for the building up of the body of Christ to do the work? Okay? Do you guys see that? Is everybody awake?
Yep.
Okay. Okay, good. Fourth is back to our underscores here. The last thing that this all underscored to me is that, we talked about this a little bit last week, is that, we're having conversations with people when we talk about the gospel that are really, really important. And we get nervous and we back out and everything else. Why? Because we know we're talking about heaven and hell here. We're talking about a conversation that is eternal, with eternal importance. Okay?
Can I comment on that?
Yeah.
I think that's true in some cases. Talking about heaven and hell, we all know that's true and accurate. Mm-hmm. But I think the main reason that so many people don't share the gospel, afraid of rejection and ridicule, and that sin, the Bible calls it the fear of man. Mm-hmm. And who are you going to fear, man or God? Mm-hmm. And we choose to fear man when we're not filled with spirit, with courage.
Right, yeah. So here's the thing. This is the last thing that this really underscored for me. These are very, very important things, okay? You mentioned last week, your great nephew, you're going to have a conversation with him about the gospel. He's got cancer. He's dying. I met with my brother Steve in Florida. He was dying, okay? And oh, by the way, in case you're not familiar with it, everybody's dying.
Right.
Okay? It's funny. I gave a talk one time in Boston at a sales meeting. And these guys are all from Boston. Most of them are from Boston. And I'm from Michigan. And I said, you guys want to know what the death rate is in Detroit? And they're like, what? I said, it's 100%. Everybody dies.
Yeah. I always say it's like, one per person.
Yeah. But anyway, these are really, really important discussions, okay? But the thing we got to realize is that, and we understand this when we understand sovereignty. When you study God's sovereignty in soteriology, it's going to really help you to understand that, you know what, you're not a salesman, okay? Talking with people about the gospel is not a sales pitch. No, you're not a salesman. If I had to say, what occupation are you? I'd say you're more like a delivery person. Okay, you're a person who delivers something. I've said before, you're like the newspaper boy. You're delivering the news. You do it on time, you do it accurately, but you don't grab the paper and start cutting stuff out on the way.
Right.
Okay, so you're not a salesman, you're a delivery person. Okay. But when it comes to you understanding more and more, if you study and meditate on the sovereignty of God as it pertains to election and how God chooses who he's already chosen from the foundation of the world and so forth, this is what I'm going to give you, and this is the last observation. God is sovereign.
Amen.
And it gives you peace. Amen. And the more you understand the sovereignty of God, the more you study this and meditate on this, guess what? When you share the gospel with people, you're going to be more and more at peace.
Amen.
And when you're more and more at peace, I'm going to throw a $20 bill on the table that says, you're probably going to deliver that gospel more effectively.
Yep.
You're going to be more clear. You're going to be more complete. You're going to be more honest. You're going to be more loving. You're going to be more gentle and kind. You're going to ask more questions instead of making statements. All because you have the peace of God is sovereign, and he's already chosen who he's chosen. You just have the privilege, and I have the privilege, of being the delivery person.
That's right.
To say, hey, like Philip said, do you understand what you're reading? And from there, he took him to the gospel and introduced him to Christ and later baptized him. So I think I'll go ahead and leave it at that. We're going to pick up here next week, and it's the first thing. If you look at the bottom of your handout, there's like five little things mentioned, and the first thing is why the need for this series. So next week, we're going to start getting into the need for this series. And what I mean by the need for this series, because these last 2 weeks were just an introduction, is more of what is going on around us that you might be aware of, you might not. But it's, somebody said, I don't know, earlier today, something about false teachers and false gospels. And this is a big deal. Like, we've got error just coming around us in like 31 flavors, okay? And we're going to talk about that. Go ahead.
I remember what Mrs. P said last week. That she...
Mrs. who?
Mrs. Pastor.
Oh.
We sometimes think that we're better than you are.
Yeah.
You know, who do you think you are to talk to me like that? You're nobody. We're on level ground here. And I think a lot of us think that way.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, Kathy mentioned that last week, and I noted that. I actually went back and, because I couldn't remember exactly how you put it, and I'm probably going to ask you that more between now and then, but I went back and listened to the audio so I could say, okay, I want to make sure I get this right. But Kathy's point last week was, you know, how do we not approach this thinking like we're the know-it-all and we're better than you or something like that, and correct me if I'm wrong, like who am I to say I've got the truth and you don't, you know?
You're a disciple of Christ and you're commanded to preach the gospel.
But hold on, Kathy.
I know, but you're glitching because you don't want to come across as having all the answers. That's not the right attitude.
Right.
That's
right. Right.
But that's right. What keeps us from, you know. But I have to share. I've been reading a book from a Christian artist called Andrew Peterson called Adoring the Dark, and he was talking about Christian art. But a quote out of his book I thought was very appropriate for this morning. Truth without beauty is a weapon. Beauty without truth is spineless. So we have to figure out a way to communicate truth and love, beauty, you know, the beauty of the gospel without just spewing
right.
truth.
Exactly.
To figure out a way to do that. And yes, men, ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
I say that enough. I tell Bob that all the time.
Yeah.
Ask more questions.
Yep.
People don't care what you know until they know you care. Right.
Right. Exactly. Since Kathy just mentioned that, let me just say this one more time. This was mentioned early in the class. Some of you might not have been here. The goal isn't to be naively nice or to be inconsiderately coarse. The wise path in sharing the gospel is to speak complete truth in complete love. One without the other is incomplete and dangerous. Gentleness and respect is the delivery method of truth and love. Okay? When we get into the sharing section of this series, we're going to talk about that a lot on different, you know, ways to share the gospel with people. And by the way, you know, just like Solomon says in Ecclesiastes, you know, about, you know, there being a time and a season for this and that and everything, there is no one myopic way to do this because there are myriads of situations, there are myriads of people, there's myriads of experiences that they come from, et cetera, et cetera. Hence the need for wisdom and discernment and asking questions to find out who they are and where they're coming from so you're both on the same page as you talk, you know. So anything else before I pray?
I try to remember, and someone told me this, when you feel that butterflies in your stomach saying, go up to that person. I mean, sometimes I have. Buy that person your coffee or whatever, something good, or to share the gospel. You want to walk away and you're nervous. That's not my flesh telling me to do that. Because my flesh is selfish. And it's not my flesh. That's God telling me to do it.
That's right.
Putting it into perspective,
yeah.
If that's God telling me to do it, I better do it, because he says don't quench the spirit.
Right.
And if he's telling me to do it, it's going to be good no matter what. But I know I think, well, that's not myself. That's not myself, because myself would want not to spend money on anybody, not to share the gospel, not to say hi, just keep to myself. So that has been in the back of my mind a lot.
Mm-hmm.
When I've come into those encounters.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't always do it, but I try.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm hoping when we get into the sharing section too that we can spend ample time talking about how do we get in situations like this to share the gospel with people and have, because we've all experienced what you said. I'm just using you as an example. We've all experienced that. How do we share the gospel with people and not have that happen? So that we're actually confident and we are loving and we care and we have our wits about us as far as how to talk with somebody calmly and completely about the truth, you know, without bailing, which we've all done, you know. So, all right, let's go ahead and pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, I just thank you for this day and this time to talk about your gospel and your truth. God, I pray that you would guide us and direct us as we do this series. A lot of good thoughts and good questions coming around and coming up. And God, would you guide us and direct us how we might be exactly what you want us to be and share the gospel exactly how you would like us to in our world that needs it so bad. And and so that we could complete our mission, Lord, to represent you well and to represent your truth well. So this is my ask, Lord, that you would just guide us and direct us in this, and we will definitely give you the glory, and we thank you for everything you are to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.